All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Interesting show today. A little bit different than what I normally do, but it's kind of fun to talk about this stuff. I really do believe we live in a special time. I think we are in a period of God's mercy. I believe God's grace is flowing. I know that across the span of the centuries, God has always sent the Mother of God in a special way to intercede for us. You know, in Calvary, he proclaimed her our spiritual mother, and she has been interceding ever since. And we see this in so many famed apparitions that have occurred. There have been so many within the 20th and 21st centuries. It's pretty amazing. Word came of another apparition that had just received formal church approval from the bishop in Argentina. And it was kind of a rare pronouncement. This site, like many others, you know, sometimes has with it dramatic prophecies. There are messages that are claimed to be from the Mother of God, from the Virgin Mary, and warns of the time in which we live in, warns of great danger. These have been formally, officially accepted by the church. I want to talk about that. What does that mean when the church gets behind a particular apparition, especially when there's messages associated with it? And what's the backstory to these apparitions down in Argentina? I remember when these visions were unfolding. It was 1991. I just finished my Marian apparition documentary, and somebody said to me, "Hey, look, there's another series of these going on down in Argentina. You ought to go." And I didn't go. I sent a camera guy who went down there and actually interviewed the seer and got some footage of the church that was then being erected. And I regret that to this day. I really do, because this woman, too, was just extraordinary. Heaven was touching down. Like Padre Pio and like other great saints, she, too, bore the wounds of Christ. I just remember hearing that her stigmata was in her wrist, not in her hands. Kind of interesting. So, well, you know, what's the backstory to the visions here? And ultimately, you know, what does it mean for you know, for you and I? Back in 1983, just a brief overview, and we'll speak to Michael O'Neill, the miracle hunter, on this one. There is a woman named Gladys DeMota. She was just an ordinary housewife. And she claimed that the Mother of God was appearing to her. She had no formal education. She was completely unschooled in theology. I always loved that. And for the next 6 years, she was actually visited daily, by the Blessed Mother, who came as Our Lady of the Rosary, wanting to have a sanctuary built in the town. And the sanctuary was built, and now the current bishop of the diocese has declared the apparitions are of divine origin, that they are worthy of belief. And here to give us some perspective on what all that means and what unfolded is Michael O'Neill, host of The Miracle Hunter here on Relevant Radio. You can tune into him Sundays at noon Eastern, 11 Central. Also, you ought to check out his book. It's called Exploring the Miraculous, and Mike breaks down a lot of this type of stuff. Mike, good to have you back with us, and congratulations on your book, too, Exploring the Miraculous. A great read, and hope people will pick that up.
Thanks, Drew. It's great to be back on.
Hey, fill us in on what's happening in Argentina. This kind of came out of the blue. I got an email from you over the weekend. I'm like, great story. Yeah, let's definitely talk about that. So what's the main upshot of these apparitions? What went down, and what was Our Lady, you know, giving the world?
Well, what's so interesting, Drew, is that this is an apparition that occurred in San Nicolas, Argentina, starting in 1983, and it lasted 7 years or so. And for people who want to know the geography, San Nicolas is about 145 miles north of Buenos Aires. And what's important to note is that there are many ways that the church approves apparitions or gives recognition to them, and sometimes it's an imprimatur where it says the messages are okay, but the key phrase that we're looking at here is supernatural. The church is actually coming out and saying this is established as a supernatural event. So this has happened so very few times in history, considering all the claims around the world, that it's really noteworthy. I mean, you know me, Drew, and I know you do too, with loving Marian apparitions. This is as big a news as you're going to hear as far as apparitions go. This is, you know, it puts it on the level of Lourdes and Guadalupe and Fatima. I mean, it doesn't have the Vatican recognition at this point, but the local bishop's approval is really cementing it right now. And so when we talk about what the backstory of this whole thing is the woman's name is Gladys Herminia Quiroga, and from 1983 to 1990, she received many messages over 7 years, and we're talking, you know, 1,800 messages or so. So a lot of the classic apparitions, you know, Guadalupe, Lourdes, and Fatima, you just have a handful. But here's one of these rare cases where there's thousands of messages, actually hundreds of thousands. So, you know, the church has that great challenge of needing to go through all the messages over all the years. And there were some dramatic commentary talking about chastisements and suffering for mankind. There's a quote that says there'd be some very dramatic moments. And if people want to read the messages of Our Lady of the Rosary of San Nicolas, they can go to miraclehunter.com, and I've got the messages listed there. So really an incredible event, though, that transpired on Sunday where the bishop, Hector Cardelli, gave this approval.
It's interesting, too, the title, because when Our Lady appeared in Fatima, didn't she come as Our Lady of the Rosary there, too?
Absolutely. That's been, of course, apparitions, there's been so many of them, and they've recycled the titles a little bit, but Fatima, of course, is the standard of apparitions, so here's another one with that exact same title. That's pretty interesting right there.
So this has received formal church approval from the bishop. What happens next? Does the Vatican have to look at this, or not really? It's as legitimate as Fatima is, right?
Absolutely. So it's kind of interesting how the church does these things, and I like to say it's as clear as mud, because it's really, really confusing. So what the church does and did in this particular case is in 1990 they examined the events, and they said that the messages look good. They matched up to Catholic Church teaching and nothing contrary to the Bible and no problem. So they issue an imprimatur. So they say that the faithful can engage with these messages and bring them into their lives of faith. What they did not do, however, is say that this is a supernatural event. So that they were holding out on saying whether or not Mary truly appeared in this case. So this is what this most recent statement that came out in a homily and a written statement this past Sunday is saying: we are dealing with a supernatural event, an authentic appearance of Mary. And the Vatican over the years probably will recognize it, or can if they like. That could be putting a basilica there, establishing a feast day, canonizing the visionary if the time were to come for that. And there's any number of other things it could do, establish a prayer or a special icon. But the Vatican doesn't need to. According to canon law and the 1978 document, the Norms for the Congregation for Judging Private Revelation, says that all that needs to happen is for the local bishop to give it approval for it to be considered at that absolute highest level of church approval, like Lourdes, Fatima, and Guadalupe.
You know, it's interesting. South America is so rich in Marian apparitions, too. I don't know if people really realize that. You have Betania, Venezuela, Quapa, Nicaragua. There was a series of visions there in the 80s as well. I mean, it seemed to be a time where the Virgin was really appearing in South America as well. What are your thoughts on that? Just the fact that the Virgin appeared so much in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and in a special way to South America.
Yeah, no, it's pretty interesting. I think traditionally, of course, for people who saw that National Geographic article that was out in December, I was able to collaborate and work on a map with them where we mapped all the dots of the apparition claims and approvals throughout the whole world. And anybody looks at that, they say, well, of course, you know, we've got all these dots in Europe or whatever. So that was where all the apparition claims were centered for many years. But Our Lady is either turning her attention to South America, or those approvals are actually coming through. And it's a different age of Marian apparitions. We talked about mm-hmm. the golden age of Marian apparitions happening way back when, up until Our Lady of Fatima, and we have Lourdes and we have La Salette and some of these others. But this could be its own kind of second golden age we have in South America, because we have the ones that you mentioned there with San Nicolas as well. So it's really an interesting time.
Michael, maybe you don't know maybe you don't have the info on this or not, but I don't know a whole lot about it. But Gladys Modis also had particular gifts. I mean, I know that there was solar phenomena like Fatima and places like Medjugorje that are often reported around these visions. But she had the wounds of Christ. What do we know about her stigmatic and what about her state in life right now? What's the latest on her? Any word?
Sure. So getting to the stigmata, what's interesting is if you check out my book, Exploring the Miraculous, you know that the stigmata moves around for different saints. It's not always square in the palms of the hands, and it's right. not always in the wrists. So it's different for different people, which is confusing, but I really think it's one of these cases where the visionary or the receiver of the stigmata is connecting with Christ on a personal level. So where they would imagine the wounds of Christ, that's where they manifest. So we have in Gladys Quiroga, her wrists, her side, her feet, right. and her shoulder all had the wounds of Christ. And she was considered a victim soul as a result. And one of the really interesting things about Gladys, one of these other mystical elements, is that she had no ability to read or write prior to these messages occurring. Yet she was able to keep a diary and write them all down. So that's kind of an interesting twist as well. That's, you know, over 7 years, 1,800 messages, and she was able to catalog them all. So
let's underscore that for a second, because that's incredible. The woman does not know how to read or write, folks. She's not literate. And yet you're saying she eloquently recorded 1,800 messages. She had syntax and everything else, right?
That's the story as it comes down to us.
That's
haven't
amazing.
Seen her diaries, of course, but absolutely incredible if that's true.
And what is some of the message? I know that there had been some, at least when I was familiar with these visions a while ago, that you know, there's always a call for conversion and prayer and hope in the world. The consecration to Our Lady is always a big thing, but did she talk about materialism? She warned of future events that were to unfold.
She did. I mean, she gave some of these messages that are consistent with Marian apparitions throughout history, which is prayer, conversion, return to the sacraments. That was a very common thing. But she also talked about coming chastisements and dramatic events that were in store for us. But one of the key things that she emphasized, or that Mary emphasized through her, was that just when it looks like there's the triumph of evil, this will all soon be reversed. So that the glimmer of hope, or that hope that we all have in the triumph of Christ. So as bad as things are going to get, that just know that things will be, Christ will triumph in the end.
And just to bring it back to Fatima, that's what the Virgin said. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph, and we have to have great hope in that. These visions really are a message of hope, not one of fear. You know, so often people hear, like, look at Cabejo, the apocalyptic messages surrounded that, or even Fatima. So often, in the end, good always triumphs. So, hey, Michael, it's great having you here. I'm assuming you're going to talk about this on Sunday.
Absolutely, this is going to be one of the big things we talk about. I'm hoping to get the Archbishop on the show. We'll see if that works out. But if that doesn't work out, we are actually slated to talk to somebody from the University of Rutgers, a linguistics, who's going to talk about glossolalia, that phenomena of speaking in tongues. So he's going to talk about what to make of all that. So it should be interesting.
That's great stuff. All right, 11, that of course is 11 Central, noon Eastern. Check them out right here on Relevant Radio on Sunday. The book, Exploring the Miraculous, by Michael O'Neill. Michael, thanks for the time tonight. Thanks for the heads up. Great conversation.
Thanks, Drew. Great talking to you.